flesh, fullness of God in helpless days, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on the cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied.
Sometimes many, sometimes few, but the hope of life eternal makes all old hopes brand new. And I don't want to get adjusted to this world, to this world, 'cause I gotta go so much better, and I'm gonna go there sooner or later. And I don't want to get adjusted to this world. People say my Lord ain't coming, and his word, it isn't true. But my life has shown me different, and I know he's coming soon. And I want to get adjusted to this world, to this world, 'cause I got a home, oh, much better, and I'm gonna go there sooner or later. And I don't want to get adjusted to this world. Lord, I'm growing old and weary. There's no place that feels like home. Jesus, come, my soul and ferry to where I nevermore will roam. And I don't want to get adjusted to this world, brother, to this world. 'Cause I got a home, oh, much better, and I'm gonna go there sooner or later. And I don't want to get adjusted to this world. Yes, got a home so much better, and I'm gonna go there sooner or later. And I don't want to get adjusted to this world.
Psalm 33 and verse 12, and also 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Just want to give us a little bit of encouragement as to what we can do now that President-elect Donald Trump is on the doorsteps of the White House. Psalm 33, verse number 12. By the way, you may have voted for Hillary. You may have voted for the Independent. You might have voted for the Green Party. You may have voted for the Blue Party. Amen. Doesn't matter. You may have had a write-in candidate. What matters most now is that the president-elect that is going into office, we need to support and pray. Now, I've gotten all sorts of emails from preachers that are on the far left wing that said they are not going to support this president at all. And that is anti-scripture, amen, because scripture said we got to pray for him, amen. But 33rd Psalm, verse number 12, let's read that one together. Here we go. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. And I tell you, I live in this nation, and I've chosen that, amen. I'm so glad that God has chosen those people. Turn over now to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Timothy chapter number 2, 1 Timothy. And read with me verses 1 down through verse 7. I exhort therefore that first... Y'all read with me now. Here we go. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. And let's read verse number 8 as well, and then we'll pray. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And so Paul, giving instruction to Timothy on how to handle things in the local church, begins to say, you know, let me give you some instructions to the church on how to pray for the leadership of the nation. And lets them know in these passages over in Psalm 33, it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. By the way, our nation was founded on biblical principles. Our forefathers and founding fathers left England to come here for religious freedom, religious liberty. And they got this great nation going. It'd be a travesty to see it all go down the tubes in just a matter of moments. Amen. By the way, it is going to go down the tubes. Y'all saying it is? Yes, this great nation is going down the tubes. It is going by the wayside. It is not going to be standing for God. It's going to go the way of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, like we saw this morning. The man of sin is going to come in and ruin and wreck everybody's lives by compromising and giving them what they want. And you know what people want? Sin. And he's going to give it to them. He's going to let them have their way. That's why he's called the man of sin, the lawless one, the wicked one, because he's going to give everybody what they want. And everybody's going to have their rights. And Christians are going to be the ones who won't have any rights because we're going to get raptured out. Amen. But the ones that are here will get persecuted for standing for God. Father, bless now the next moments that we may talk about what we can do to help out this great nation, Lord, until Jesus comes and raptures us out. Well, there'll be a few folks left here that need to be saved. And I pray that with the things that we do over the next several years here with President-elect Trump on the doorstep of the White House, it might be a blessing and encouragement. Lord, our children still need to have a place where they can grow and, Lord, to hear the word of God and become great citizens if you should tarry your coming. And, Lord, help us do our debt level best to be an interceding church for the leadership that has been placed over us, whether it's local or whether it's national. Lord, they need our prayers and our support. Thank you for loving us, Lord, to meet our need tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, the election has come, the election is gone, and some of you probably noticed already there is, I was talking to Serge about this earlier, there's a far left wing group that is already trying to get Donald Trump out and put Hillary back in. They are trying to go with the popular vote. How many of y'all, you know, there's the electoral votes and then there's the popular vote. Well, Hillary won the popular vote by a narrow margin. And so their argument is this. Well, since she won the popular vote, she should really be the president. Amen. There have been a few other presidents that won the popular vote that weren't president as well. Amen. And let me read to you parts of the email that the far left sent me, because they figure since I'm a pastor, I can tell you guys to vote and sign this petition. It says, friends, in just the first week after Trump's victory, we've gotten a glimpse of what his presidency will be like, and it's bleak. But Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, and there's still a chance she could be our next president. Electors from the Electoral College will cast their votes on December 19th. If we can get them to change their votes, they can elect Hillary Clinton as the 45th president of the United States. To be clear, what we're proposing would be unprecedented. And these electors would face a firestorm of controversy and even possible legal penalties if they were to take this step. But it is possible. And since a Trump presidency would be an unprecedented threat to our democracy, it is essential. And it says, sign your name, ask electors to switch their vote and elect Hillary Clinton as the 45th president of the United States. And it says, please save America from Donald Trump and make Hillary Clinton our next president. You click on the tab and you can actually put your name on this petition to petition the electorals as they go and make their votes. And it just, yeah, there's another one attached to this. I'm not going to even read that one. It's just too far gone. And so instead of praying for the president-elect, they're trying to do away with the president-elect before he actually steps on the doorsteps of the White House. Amen. Let me give you a thought that I want you to consider for the next moment here. If you had a choice between voting for Judas Iscariot as your leader or Barabbas, who would you choose? Now, you got to pick one. Would you choose Barabbas or would you choose Judas? Now, let me give you their description first. Judas was a thief, and of course we know a thief does things by stealth. They don't want to be caught. But we know that he had a seeming religiousness about him, and we also know that he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we also know this about him, that when Jesus said, the one that's at the table that dips with me is the one, and Judas asked, was he the one? He said, thou sayest. Nobody suspected that it was Judas. He played the game that good. So would you rather have Judas as your leader or Barabbas? Now, let me tell you about Barabbas. Barabbas was a murderer. He was an insurrectionist. He led rebels. Now, giving the choice, he was unapologetic about what he did either. So I've got Barabbas here. Remember, when it came down to let Jesus go, Pilate said, would you rather me release Jesus or Barabbas? And who did the people say? Give us who? Barabbas. The Bible says he was an insurrectionist. He was a murderer. He was unapologetic about what he had done. And so if you had a choice between those two, which one would you choose? Now, you don't have to answer. I'm just rhetorical in your own mind. Who would you choose? Well, we've had an election. And you know who we got? We got Barabbas. Trump, in a lot of ways, is like Barabbas. He's going to tell you what he's going to do. He's going to tell you what he's going to think. He's going to be unapologetic about what he's going to do. And he's going to let it all hang out. And he doesn't care if it offends you or not. Hillary, on the other hand, was very deceptive, very deceitful, very conniving. Now, am I trying to tell you how to vote? No, you already voted, I hope. Amen. And that's pretty much what we got. We got a Barabbas. At least with Barabbas, you know what you're getting. With Judas, you don't know what you're getting. Barabbas is the better choice? No, they're both bad choices. But that just shows you where we're at in America, that we have those two choices, a Barabbas type and a Judas Iscariot type to vote for. That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. You mean to tell me in America in 2000, that's the best we can do? That's the best we can do? But guess what, folks? Whether you like it or not, he is going to be the next president. You may not have voted for him. You maybe don't care for him. You don't like his womanizing. You don't like what he says to people. You don't like how he belittles people. How he told the one lady, you're too ugly to get elected. I mean, you may not like any of that. I mean, he's just going to up in your face. You may not like his brashness. But the Lord saw fit to let him win the election. A lot of people stayed home and didn't vote because they thought Hillary was a shoo-in. And so they just said, we're not going to even go because we know Hillary's going to win anyway. Well, she didn't. And so we have for our leader elect a Barabbas. Who would you have voted for anyway? Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is reproach to any people. That is the will of God for our nation, that our nation be a righteous nation, exalted. You say, preacher, but we're a small minority. So was Daniel. But he made a difference. So was Joseph. But he made a difference. So was David. But he made a difference. So was Samuel. But he made a difference. What am I saying? It doesn't matter the size of us. It matters the size of God. That's what matters. And I don't care if it's Hillary. I don't care if it's Trump. I don't care if it's a Green Party. I don't care if it's an independent. If God's in charge, that's all we need. That's all we need. And by the way, God sets up one, he puts down another. Promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Psalm 75:5. If God's people are there, then the nation should be establishing righteousness in the realm where the Christians are at. By the way, we may not know the exact will of God for our nation. We don't know how it's going to play out in the future. We don't know how prophetically our nation is going to play. But we do know nations that are playing. And one of those is Israel. We also know what God will do with wicked nations. Psalm 9 verse 17. The wicked should be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Amen. And we also know what God wants Christians in the nations to do. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Y'all know by heart. If my people, what? Which are called by my name, shall what? Humble themselves and do what? Pray and what? Seek my face and what? Turn from their wicked ways. Then what? I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Our land is sick, whether y'all know it or not. You say, preacher, why is our land sick? Because we have not done our job. We're not as strong as we were 10 years ago, spiritually speaking. We're not as strong as we were 20 years ago, 30, 40, 50 years ago. We're not as strong. Missionaries were all over Europe back when Brother Serge was in the military and I was in the military and Pastor White was in the military. They were all over in Europe. Now they've all come back home. A lot have come back home. There's some things going on in this nation that are not right. Proverbs 21 and verse 1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. And so prayer still moves the hand that rules the government. And when we pray, we need to pray, God, have mercy on us. And God, don't give us what we deserve. And God has given us Trump. Amen. And so evidently God said, it could have been worse. It could have been worse. So what do we do in preparation for the days ahead? And you look at 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And he says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. What do we do here? Prayer still moves the hand that rules the government. And the need for prayer is the paramount thing right now. And by the way, you and I can pick it all day long. We can hold up a sign and say, down with Trump, down with Hillary, lock her up. We can say all those things, impeach him. And we can say all these things. But guess what? The power is not in the picketing. The power is in the praying. Pastor White did a tremendous job talking about prayer and the power that we need and those things on Wednesday night. And prayer is what we need for President-elect Trump. And whether you like him or not, it matters not. The Bible says that I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in where? Authority. What is a supplication? It is an asking God for some specific needs. Let me give you several specific needs that President-elect Trump needs. Pray specifically for the influence of those around him, that he makes wise choices in who he places in positions of leadership. By the way, that's key for anybody. If you want to be successful, you've got to have some key people around you to help assist you, whether it's in the sports arena, whether it's in the entertainment arena, whether it's in the church arena, whether it's in the political arena. I don't care where it's at. If you don't have good people surrounding you, you are destined to fail. You've got to have people that know what they're doing and know what they're talking about and know how to get results. And so one of the things that we can pray for is him. He's embraced Mike Pence and as his vice president, Ben Carson and Mike Huckabee, all of which have been very outspoken and forward about their faith, whether it be weak or strong, biblical or not. They can influence him for the morality of our nation. Why? Because they're calling on God. Now, they may be wrong in a lot of their theology. They may not even be saved in some ways, but even if they're religious, morally, they can influence Trump and he might get saved. Now, you might not like their Christianity, their brand of Christianity, or how they practice, and they may not be fundamental. I guarantee they probably aren't. But I can tell you this, if they have any kind of stand for God, they can be an influence to Donald Trump for morality. They may be able to help him on his key issues like marriage and abortion, transgender, a lesbian, gay, and a bisexual and transgender. They may be able to help him on some of these key issues and say, you know what? I know as a man of faith that we ought to do this. And so we've got to pray for them that they can influence him on some of these key issues. I don't know about you, but I don't want my faithy poo having to go to school with somebody that can go into her bathroom. Can I get an amen? I don't want some boy who thinks he's a girl today to be able to go in the bathroom with her and undress and see her. I don't want that. I don't know about you, but I don't want that. Now, I don't want my wife to go into the dressing room and because some man has this thought of, I feel like I'm a woman today, go in the dressing room with my wife. I don't feel comfortable with that. But that's exactly what's going on right now. And so we've got to pray for these guys that he's getting around them. Pray specifically for the influence of the Supreme Court appointments that he's going to make. His pro-life views, his transgender agenda, the right to bear arms. I am convinced that when you and I pray, God hears. Go to Exodus 3:7. Hold your finger there. And notice what it says about the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 7. Now again, you may not like Trump. You may not have voted for him. You may care nothing for him. That's beside the point. Exodus 3 and verse number 7. The Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to what? Deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I've also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. You know, Christians have been oppressed for the last 8 years. The policies have gotten worse and worse under the Obama administration. The things and the liberties have been taken away that you and I hold so dear. Where a Muslim can go in the school and have a Muslim prayer read, but you and I can't pray in Jesus' name. We can't have a Bible over here, but they can bring the Quran in. It's gotten increasingly worse for us. And that's not the half of it. He says down there, supplications, and that's specific requests that you and I can make for President-elect Trump. But then he says prayers, and that verse, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers. By the way, you know that eventually Paul would be beheaded by one of the emperors. And guess what? He was in charge. And here Paul is writing saying, pray for him. And Paul got his head cut off by one of them. You would think Paul would say, don't pray for him. Pray on him. Pray God beat him. God burn him. God get rid of him. You would think that he would, but under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he knows that that's not right. If we're going to get along and if we're going to get right and do right by God, we have got to do what Paul said. Pray. Pray. He says prayers. Prayers are general requests to God. Then he says some intercessions, some standing in the gap, going to God on behalf of others. Let me give you some other things that you and I need to pray for. The Christian Action Network sent some things or questions for Christians to consider as you're praying. One is pro-life. It was quoted by Donald Trump that and Hillary Clinton, this conversation. In the ninth month, you can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb of the mother just prior to the birth of the baby, Trump said. Hillary can say that that's okay, but it's not okay with me. That's not acceptable. And that's what Trump said. Trump has also vowed to nominate pro-life justices to the Supreme Court. But still, Trump has also defended the nation's largest abortion provider, Planned Parenthood, and refused to say whether he will ban taxpayer funding from supporting the organization. He needs prayer. I don't think he's got his mind made up. For Christians, the thought that their tax dollars are paying for a procedure, this is barbaric. This barbaric is reason enough to want a ban on all tax dollars to Planned Parenthood. By the way, if you're not familiar with that, your tax dollars would go to fund abortions and birth control pills and condoms to schools and all sorts of things like that and all the sex education. Your tax dollars would go to pay for that, whether you agree with it or not. Amen. They asked this question, Mr. Trump, where do you stand on this issue? Will you ban our tax dollars from supporting Planned Parenthood? It says another issue of importance to Christians is that of the so-called transgender rights superseding the rights of other citizens. President Obama allowed this to happen across the nation when earlier this year he issued federal guidelines compelling every public school district in America to allow transgenders or even students who identify as gender fluid. Now, what does that mean? Gender fluid. Well, today I'm a girl. Tomorrow I'm a boy. But today I'm a girl. Today I'm a man. I'm a lady. Gender fluid. What kind of foolishness is that? Do you know how that opens the door to pedophiles? And do you know how that opens the door to sexual predators on children? Your children and my children? Do you know what that does? We send G2 to the bathroom with faith and make sure he waits outside the door, but the scoundrel could be on the inside already. You see what I'm saying? And that's law. That's law. President Obama did that. Did y'all know that? Just imagine if Hillary would have gotten it. Now, President Trump has not really gone out and said, this is where I stand on this issue. So it says here, students who identify as gender fluid to use bathrooms and locker rooms of their choice or else lose their federal funding. So they don't allow that. They lose their federal funding. Wow. Mr. Trump, where do you stand on this issue? Will you overturn this Obama mandate, which forces our schools to intermingle the sexes in school restrooms and locker rooms? That's something that you and I need to pray about. It goes on. We know that Trump is strong on the issue of Islamic radicalism and that he wants to put the brakes on Muslim immigration in the United States. But what does President Trump intend to do about Islamic extremists already in the United States? The day after his election, a Muslim Brotherhood radical gave a speech demanding that Muslims in America rise up and foment revolution in America. And countless Muslim enclaves throughout the United States are governed by Islamic Sharia law instead of American law. I don't know if y'all knew that or not. Engaging in polygamy, guerrilla combat training, and much worse. What, if anything, will President do about this hidden danger? We also want to know if Trump will lift President Obama's ban, notice this, on surveilling mosques in America. Did y'all know that? President Obama put a ban on surveillance of mosques in America. So they could not have any surveillance on the mosques in America. You say, well, preacher, they should have right of privacy. We know that 80% of all mosques are funded by Saudi Arabia with the primary purpose of sowing the seeds of Islamic dissent in America. If for no other reason, notice this next statement. At least a dozen Islamic extremists have been linked to the Islamic Center of Tucson, Arizona. Right under our own noses. Some surveillance would have curtailed that possibly. Some surveillance maybe would have done something about that. The Boston bombers and at least three Al-Qaeda terrorists were tied to the Islamic Society of Boston. The 9/11 hijackers attended the Dara al-Hydra Mosque in Northern Virginia. This was the same mosque that radicalized the Fort Hood shooter, Nadal Hassan. So you mean to tell me that we can't have some kind of surveillance for our own safety when they're being 80% funded? And Obama put a stop to this, so you can't surveillance on them, you can't do surveillance on them? Something's wrong with that picture. But they can kill us. They can put surveillance on us all they want to. I'm just saying, we got to pray for them. We got to pray for them. Mr. Trump, where do you stand on this issue? Will you resume surveillance on mosques of America that are known breeding terrorist grounds? We also want to know where Trump stands on the issue of same-sex marriage and special rights for homosexuals. Of the Obama regime, the Supreme Court overruled millennia of precedent and legitimized Trump's stand. Trump's stand on homosexual issues is sketchy. This is something that he tweeted. In the past, he has tweeted in favor of homosexuality, and in a June meeting with conservative Christian leaders was clearly not comfortable giving a direct answer on questions concerning the radical LGBT agenda. He's also quoted saying that a gay wedding he attended was beautiful. So is he for, is he against? We don't know. But we know this, we can pray. What did Paul say? I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications and prayers. And listen, I can tell you this, though, with Hillary, you know where she stands already on the issue. You know where she stands. She's all for it. And so we would be in trouble. We would be in trouble. It goes on to say, well, President Trump stand for the right of pastors to refuse to marry homosexuals or for Christian businessmen to participate in their weddings. Under President Obama, a liberal judge ordered a Christian couple to cater to a gay wedding and also undergo sensitivity training for refusal to participate. Sensitivity training. They were ultimately forced out of business and in bankruptcy. Mr. Trump, where do you stand on this issue? Will you protect the religious rights of Christians to practice their faith without being compelled to support the gay agenda in violation of their conscience? So we have to pray for him because some things have not been clearly delineated as to where he stands on certain key issues. We just arbitrarily think because he's claimed Republican that he's got to be this way. No, he doesn't have to be this way. If you recall, he started out as a what? Independent. But he wouldn't have gotten voted in as an independent, so he switched to Republican. So he does not really have the Republican core views and values. Some like that, some don't. But at the same time, here's a man that has no military experience. He has no political experience, but yet he's going to be the next president. That has never happened in the existence of America. Most presidents have had either one, the other, or both. He has neither. He's a businessman. There are countless other examples that they list here. Military chaplains were ordered to perform gay weddings. Bibles were removed from all military housing. Federal workers under order from Attorney General Eric Holder were forced to express support for the homosexual agenda in the workplace. We've got somebody here. Sister, is that true? You guys have to support the homosexual agenda at your job, your workplace? Had to give equal opportunity to two husbands and two wives. Amen. And they come into her for counsel. Well, you need to help me with my wife. You need to help me with my husband. What are you going to tell them? If you tell them you're in sin, you have to go through sensitivity training. What do you say, Kenny? Amen. It's law. I got two husbands, and so now they come in for counsel, and you say you're in sin because the Bible says so. You're intolerant. You're insensitive. You can have your views, but I can't have mine. You say it's legal, I say it's not. You say it's right, I say it's wrong. You say it's not sin, I say it is sin. So now I'm insensitive because I won't tolerate your views, but you won't tolerate mine. I think you need to go to insensitive training. But that's where we're at in America. The military has really gone downhill with that. Really downhill. Not to mention the Obamacare mandate forced all Americans, even those with a valid Christian objective, to pay for the abortion drugs. And on it could go. So needless to say, Donald Trump needs our prayers. And so as Paul is writing this, you think he's thinking about Nero and some of those that were in charge during his time and the Caesars. And I'm sure he had all those in mind. He definitely didn't have Trump in mind, but he had the Trump kinds in mind. He had the Hillary kinds in mind. He had the Huckabee kinds in mind. He had the Clinton kinds in mind. He had the Bush kinds in mind. He had all those kinds in mind when he said, hey, I exhort, therefore, the first of all, supplications and prayers and intercessions be made for these men. Why? They've got a big job to fill. They've got some big shoes to fill, and we've got to pray for them. And then he said this, giving of thanks for all men. By the way, it could be worse. We could be in a dictatorship. We could be in a communistic society. We could be in these places like Adolf Hitler, where if you are not right, they send the Gestapo out on you to hit you. And it's not a good hit, trust me. So it could be a whole lot worse. Could be a lot worse. He says, giving a thanks for all men. Expressing gratitude for men there. I say, preacher, why should I express gratitude for all men? Number one, they're made in the image of God. I don't care how bad the man may be. I don't care how bad the woman may be. They're still made in the image of God. For that reason, he said, you're not going to kill because man was made in the image of God. So he said, thou shalt not kill because man was made in the image of God. You will not take their life because they were made in the image of God. Now, government is there for one purpose and one purpose alone, and that is to maintain order. Now, they have that authority and that right, but you and I don't have that right to take someone's life. He said, man was made in the image of God. He said, giving a thanks to all men on top of intercessions, on top of prayers, and on top of supplications. By the way, they were made in the image of God. The House representative, the Senate, all those, we got to pray for them. And by the way, do you know that we were that close to having the marijuana laws passed in Arizona? We were that close to getting that law passed. Can you imagine with alcohol already being legal and now marijuana being legal, what the 21-year-olds would be like? Can you even fathom that? Your children can go out now and buy marijuana anywhere at the age of 21, and you know they're going to get it anyway at 19, 18, 17, and 16 illegally, just like they did with alcohol. But imagine having it legal. Now, you can't say anything about it because it's legal. Just like alcohol. You can't say anything about it because it's legal. Well, I can say you're driving under the influence. Amen. And so just imagine, we came that close to having that law passed. I'm so glad that it didn't get passed. I'm so glad. Can you imagine what the workplace would be like now? What kind of, are you going to give them a breathalyzer? That doesn't register. That registers alcohol. What are you going to give them? Well, you look like you're on dope, man. Well, that's the way you always look. So now you discriminate against me because I look dopey. So what are you going to do? I'm glad it didn't get passed. He said, giving a thanks on top of these things. And he goes on to say some other way. By the way, I don't know if you understood this or not, but as bad as you may feel about Hillary and Obama and Trump and all the rest of them, do you know that God loves them all the same? God loved Pilate just as much as he loved Barabbas and just as much as he loved Judas Iscariot. And just as much as he loved Peter the Apostle, and just as much as he loved John the Beloved, he loved them all the same. And so when he says giving of thanks for all men, he means all men. All means all, amen. And so you say, well, I don't like some men. That's beside the point. You better pray for them, and you better do right by them, amen, and give thanks for them, amen. And so he loves you and I the same way. But not only he says down there giving of thanks, there's a need for prayer, but there's a need for peace. He says, the reason is that for kings and for all that are in authority, I want you to pray for them, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. By the way, notice he said, lead a quiet and a peaceable life. He says, so that you and I can live peaceably in the will of God, fulfilling the will of God. Now, what is the will of God for you and I? To be a witness. And he says, in order for you and I to be a witness, I want you to pray for these individuals that we can be the witness that we need to be, that we can have believers' peace to perform the will of God. And by the way, we want to win the world for Christ. And so the more we can have a peaceable life with others, the better off it's going to be. And so we need to pray for them. If y'all didn't get the tape that the Pastor White preached on prayer, get that tape for Wednesday. Prayer. The need for peace. Kings, all in authority. We can lead a peaceable life. But then he says, there's a need for practicality. Why are we praying like we're praying? And why do we want believers' peace? Verse number 3, for practicality. There's a need for practicality. He says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. I want to be in the will of God. I'm right with God when I pray like this. I'm in the will of God when I pray for the president elect. I'm in the will of God when I pray for President Obama. I may not like him. I may not agree with what he's doing. I may think that what he's doing is totally wrong for society and it's immoral. I may think that it's bad for society. It's bad for economy. But God didn't ask my opinion. He didn't ask yours either. He just said, pray for him. He said, pray for him. He said, intercede for him. He says, give some thanks for them. It could be worse. He said, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. For practicality, just being right with God, we have got to pray for this leadership. But then he says down there, not only for the need for prayer in verse 1, the need for peace in verse number 2, the need for practicality in verse 3, but there's a need for pardon in verse number 4. This is the ultimate goal that God wants. Who will have how many men? All men. How many? All men. Can you imagine if everybody got saved? All your coworkers got saved. All your students at school got saved. Now, I'm not talking about got religious. I'm not talking about got religious. I'm talking about got right with God and got saved. Got downright really saved. Can you imagine? I had a glimpse of that. A small glimpse. It was three of us working in my office and I was saved. And these other ones came in, and one by one, I began to lead them to the Lord. My two peers got saved, Manny and Cindy. Cindy got saved. And then my boss, who was a Catholic holdout, he would see us, and he was too big for his britches. He finally broke down and got saved. So my boss was saved. I was saved. And my two coworkers got saved, and the four of us worked in one office. You talking about a little bit of heaven on earth. Man, talking about who would have all men to be saved. Can you imagine if your workplace got saved? Everybody got saved? I started working on the first sergeant. She wasn't having it. She said she was too old to get saved. She was pretty old, amen. But she was not too old to get saved. I started working on my commander. He thought he had it all together. He was a psychology major, so he kind of gave me that psychological look. Don't be no holy roller now. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Oh, no one can know for sure. I said, yeah, I know for sure. Do you want to know? Oh, you couldn't know that. I gave him chapter and verse, quoted it to him, and I said, and this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. This life is in his Son, amen. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. I said, Colonel Blue, what does that say? It says that you can know. I said, that's how I know I have eternal life. I've got the Son. I'm saved. And he looked at me like, He couldn't deny it because that's what it said. I said, God wants you to know that you're saved, sir. The only thing he could say, don't turn into a holy roller. That's the only thing he could say. I said, sir, I hope you get saved one day. I hope you get saved. And I tell you, he had his eye on me from that day forward. After he left our squadron, about 6 months later, he wrote me a card. Remember that, honey? He wrote me a card. And that card just talked about how it was a pleasure getting to know me and things of that nature. I know you're going to be a preacher one of these days and all this. This is my commander, my colonel. And he didn't like anybody. My wife, he didn't like the first sergeant. He didn't like the supervisor. He didn't like anybody. He didn't like me either. But he had to respect what I said. And guess what? I don't know if he got saved or not, but he wrote me back one of the sweetest cards. He did. I said, praise God. the goal here, God said, there's a need for pardon. Who would have all men to be saved to come to the knowledge of the truth? He said, I want everybody to be saved. And I don't know about you. I yearn when I see people. I want them to be saved. I want them to be saved. And I want to just go to people and shake them and say, you need to get saved. But that's not going to work. I want to take my family sometime and say, get right with God. Stop your lifestyle. Stop that religious foolishness and get right with God. But that's not going to work. You know, I want to belittle them sometime and talk about them and say, if you were really a Christian, you wouldn't do that. But that's not going to work. I want to say, why are you getting baptized for the fifth time? That's not going to save you. Why are you speaking in tongues? That's not going to save you. Why are you dressing up? That's not going to save you. Why are you giving money? That's not going to save you. What's going to save? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. What can wipe away all my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. And none of that's going to work for the people in authority either. By the way, our prayer should be, Lord, bring a person by to witness to President Obama before he gets out of office. He can still get saved. I don't care how religious he thinks he is. If you're not born again, you're not saved. It's just simple. You can get baptized as much as a water duck. I mean, it's not going to help you. It's not. What a person needs is to be born again. He says, there's a need for pardon. But then lastly, he says, there's a need for purpose. He says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for how many? For all. There is no other mediator. The Pope is not the mediator. The brother or the sister is not the mediator. Mary is not the mediator. The preacher is not the mediator. Jesus Christ gave his blood for all. And so as Paul is going through here, he said there's a need for prayer. And the need for prayer is for peace, that we can lead a peaceable life as we witness to others. And it's practical. He said that's good and acceptable in the sight of God. And there's a pardon that God wants to give. And Paul, out of anybody, should be saying, no, we don't want this pardon. But guess what? If men in authority got saved, they can have an influence on people under them. Hallelujah. If men of importance got saved, it would mean a whole lot more than just the average old Joe that got saved. I mean, I remember the basketball player A.C. Green. A.C. Green? A.C. Green supposedly is a Christian. I don't know him, but they say he is. But when he goes to events, he draws a crowd. I mean, I know Tim Tebow. And they say he's a Christian. I don't know his Christianity. I know he gives a testimony. But you know what? He draws a crowd. When people in importance receive Christ or give a testimony, it does something. How many of y'all know Kirk Cameron? Firestarter. Fireproof and all the other movies. He gives a testimony of being born again. And when people see him, they think, hey, you threw away Hollywood for Christ? Yes. Yes. He'll be quick to tell you, turn or burn. You need to get saved. And so imagine if men in authority like Donald Trump got saved, who's in touch with other countries, who can touch Israel, who can touch Russia, who can touch Korea, who can touch Australia, who can touch Africa, who can touch all these places. Imagine if Donald Trump got saved. Now I'm talking about really got saved. I thought really got born again and got saved and got serious about it. Imagine what would happen. You said they'd impeach him. They probably would. Because he'd go on the record by being righteous if he truly is born again. There's a whole lot of religious folk in political scene. We don't need a bunch of religion. There's enough of that already. We need people to get born again. What am I saying? We've got to pray for President-elect Donald Trump that not only would he get saved, but then others around him would be saved. He would surround himself that God would pat him with saved, and that President Obama would get saved, and Biden would get saved, and others around him would get saved, and yes, even Hillary would get saved. It can happen, you know. It can happen. You know, if you and I can get saved, anybody can get saved. You say, well, preacher, we're not billionaires. You don't have to be. All you have to be is a sinner. And you can get saved. I'm so glad that God smiled upon me and said, you know what? I'm going to send somebody to him, and I'm going to save him. And somebody prayed for me. Somebody led a peaceable life around me. And somebody came and practically said, you know, it's good and acceptable to go to Greg and give him the gospel because he needs a pardon. And I'm glad I got saved. You know, the Bible still says the appointed man wants to die, then the judgment. So what are we going to do as we go into this election year? We're going to pray, just like Paul said. We're going to pray and ask God's blessing. We're going to give some supplications, some specific requests on some of these key issues we mentioned tonight. We're going to have some prayers, some general requests for him. We're going to have some intercession. We're going to intercede on behalf of him when he's making decisions. And by the way, prayer still moves the hand of God that moves the nation. And we're going to pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that you and I can lead a quiet and peaceable life and be able to give out the gospel. It's good and acceptable in the sight of God. And God wants all men to be saved. And we know that all men may not get saved, but you know what? God can save all men in your area. You know, I'm so thankful that God gave me a saved office once. You know, I went to another office after that, and I wanted to do the same exact thing. And I had about 14. No, I had about seven or, how many couriers was in there? About eight, nine, ten? About 12 different folks there. I had Turks in there, Greeks, Spanish, Americans. It was about 12 of us. Every nationality almost was represented. My goal was to win every last one of them. Every last one of them. And by the way, why? I knew that God would have all men to be saved. And I said, God, if you've got me here, then you've got me here for a reason. I want my boss to be saved across the hallway. I want that secretary to be saved across the hallway. But inside this office, inside this vault, I want these men and these ladies to be saved. And by the way, 75% of them did get saved. And so at any given time, I could go out on one of my runs with somebody that was saved. One actually caught fire, Franz Moiman. Text me or sent me an email just a couple days ago. Hey, Greggy, how you doing? Another one, Karsten Wagner, a German. How many of y'all know that This Is Your Life track? The German version of that is printed in his hometown. He saw me on the internet. He said, oh, you finally got your church now. This is all the way from Germany, he finds me. The other guy's from Holland. Angelo, the devil, he never did get saved, not that I know of. Yeah, I think he was the devil incarnate, but... I tried. He pushed every ungodly button in my body. You know how some people can just do that? They're just a devil in disguise. And they can just get you in the flesh just by looking at you. That was Angelo. And then he was quick to smile at me and say, I got you on the dark side. And I'm thinking, oh, he got me. I said, Angelo, you need to get right with God. You need to get right with God. But he was always trying to tempt me. And sometimes it would work. And sometimes I thought, Lord, why did you send this man to me? And he won't get saved. My wife said he was my test. I said, I'm failing miserably with this guy. Amen. Said he need to go ahead and hurry up and PCS out of here. Amen. I actually PCS before he did. But you know what? God wants us to pray for our president-elect. Now, I don't like everything about him. I don't know what he's going to do, but neither do you. And we don't know what's going to happen next year. But we know this. God wants us to pray. And God wants us to stand in the gap for him. And God wants us to lead a peaceable life. And God wants us to be practical people because this is good and acceptable. And so as President-elect Trump comes in, whether you voted for him or not is beside the point. I'm sure Paul would say, you know what, I know you guys don't want to pray for Nero. I know this is coming at a bad time for you and you don't want to pray for Caesar. I know you don't want to pray for these guys, but guess what? You got to be right with God. And we have to be right with God. Now, you may not like the man, and God never said you had to like the man, but you got to pray for the office. You got to pray for the office. Some of the presidents and some of the folks may do some boneheaded things. By the way, that's equivalent to the pastor. You may not like the pastor, but you got to pray for the office, and you got to respect the office. Same thing. You may not like your boss, but guess what? You still need to pray for your boss. You know, you may not like your coworker. But you still got to pray for them. That's a mandate from God. By the way, if you do it, you have a better life. And God can change your heart when you start praying for people. You know, God softened my heart to Angelo in such a way that I thought, man, you know, why am I just letting this guy do this to me? He needs to get saved. Lord, just help me to be patient with this man. And you know, when you pray for patience, you know what happens, right? Tribulation worketh patience. So God said, oh, you want patience with him? Okay, let's have him aggravate you a little bit more and give you a little bit more endurance with him. And aggravate me, he did. Folks, I don't care what the left wing wants to do. I don't care what the right wing wants to do. I'm concerned with what God wants us to do. And that's what's going to matter. People need to be saved. Trump needs to be saved. Hillary needs to be saved. Pence needs to be saved. They all need to be saved. You say, but they say they are saved. I don't know in their hearts. They say they're saved. They say they know Christ. Amen. But God knows their hearts, and that's what matters. That's what matters. Let's all stand to our feet. You think about what God wants you to do and pray, intercede, stand in the gap, do whatever is necessary for the president. But do lift him up to the Lord Jesus. I'm going to pray, and Pastor White, after I get done, give us any words of instruction that we need and close us out. Father, thank you once again that, Lord, we can pray for our president. Although we may not agree with him, we may not agree with the stand. Lord, we know the left wing is trying to get Hillary in there. And even if they do, we still need to pray for her. And Lord, we need to pray for all those that surround them and those that have been elected into political positions. And Lord, we need to pray for those here locally as well as nationally. Lord, help us to send up prayers and supplications and intercessions for these men. Lord, these women in these particular key places, Lord, especially on the key moral issues that confront our country, the safety and the safe issues as far as the Islamic community is concerned. Lord, help us with the immigration concerns and, Lord, all the things that are surrounding this country with its policies and its politics and with its economics. Lord, help us to pray for the decisions that will be made. But most of all, help us to be counted for righteousness, that we can see all those saved in the realm that we are at. Whether it's our job, whether it's our school, whether it's our community, Lord, help us to pray for these individuals that we may lead that quiet and peaceful life and see them won to Jesus Christ. Now work in us, work through us, and dismiss us with thy blessings. In Jesus' name, Pastor White.